All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 for the message this evening. We've been looking at the church, and we looked last week at this fourth chapter and saw that when the Lord resurrected from the grave and ascended to heaven, that He sent back the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave gifts unto men. So far as the church and its function is concerned, he gave some apostles, verse 11, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And you'll notice that there's a semicolon there. In other words, the sentence is not over, it's not finished. He's about to tell you the purpose for which he gave the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the prophets and the apostles to the church. Why did he do that? Well, he did that, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. And then there's a comma, so he's not done yet. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want to continue tonight. And we'll look at the last two that are in this verse. We saw last week the perfecting of the saints. God gave these gifts to men, and these men are to proclaim the Word of God. And as they do so, it perfects the saints. What's that mean? To perfect, it's an old English term that means for the maturing, for the development, for the growth. And, of course, we'll never in this life reach sinless perfection. I think you ought to strive for it, but I'm sorry to disappoint you. You're not going to reach it, but you ought to try. I'm not against you trying by any means, but you're not going to make it. And I just want to warn you lest you get disappointed and discouraged. You ought to try, but you're not going to reach sinless perfection in this life. Now, one of these days, you're going to be sinlessly perfect. One of these days, when you see Christ face to face, you will lose this old sinful nature that you possess and that is constantly hounding at you, and you'll be changed to be like Christ. So one of these days, you will be, but right now, you're not, and you're not going to be in this life. All right, but the word perfecting does not mean to be perfect. It has the idea of maturing. My job as a pastor is to teach and to proclaim, to preach the Word of God, and to teach you the Bible so that the Holy Spirit can use it and apply it in your life and you grow and mature as a believer. And that's why when you come in here on Sundays and on Wednesdays, I try to give you something out of the Word of God. That's my goal, is to give you a truth from the Word of God. Now, the second phrase here is the phrase for the work of the ministry. And then the third phrase for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I want to talk about these two things tonight as we continue with part two of the church, its function. Let's pray together and in the message. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us as we look at these two phrases in this 12th verse. And Lord, thank you for what we have heard tonight by way of music and now, Lord, by way of testimony. And I pray now that you will bless the Word of God to our hearts. Lord, encourage us and help us to grow by what we hear this evening. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, over the last couple of Sunday nights, we have been looking at the church, and we have seen that the church is first and foremost that it is a people. It is not just buildings, although they may meet in a building, and that building may have a church nailed to the side of it. But the church is not that building. The church is the people that gather in the building. It's not just an organization, although it may be organized. It's not just programs, although the church may have programs that it uses to reach people and to help others. The church is a people. Now, who are these people? Well, we spent a couple of minutes, a couple of Sunday nights ago in the first message looking at who these people are. And we saw that they are first a converted people. They are converted. They are saved people. They are, secondly, a contrasted people. Contrasted people. We are different from the world. We have been called out of the world through Christ, and we are now Christians, and which means Christ ones, and we are different from the rest of the world. Then, thirdly, we are a community of people. And thank God for that. We are not just a certain segment of the culture or of the community, but just in this church alone, we have all kinds of different folks from different backgrounds, and we have different nationalities represented here. We have different educational backgrounds and so on and so forth. And so we are a community of people. And then fourthly, we saw that the church is a commissioned people. That is for everyone. That's not just for the pastor and for those that are the staff of the church, but the people of God. The church has been commissioned. The Great Commission was not just given to a select few. The Great Commission was given to all. And so we are a commissioned people. And we saw in that message a couple of Sunday nights ago that these people have the primary responsibility of glorifying God. Now, how do we do that? Well, there were six things I pointed out to you. We do that through our praise. We do that through our thanksgiving. We do that through prayer. We do that through sacrifice. We do that through proclamation. And we do that through our obedience. And in these six things, we as the church are glorifying God as we live the Christian life. Now, last week we looked at the first few verses of this passage, and that is before us tonight, primarily at verse 8, the last part, where he gave gifts unto men, and then verse 11, where we read what these gifts were. And we looked at this under the umbrella of the ministry of the church. And we saw that the Lord Jesus gives men spiritual gifts as they are related to the church and its function. Some of the gifts were temporary gifts, like the gift of the apostle and the gift of the prophet. These were temporary gifts. After the Lord appeared to the apostle Paul when he was on the Damascus Road and called him to be an apostle, that was it. There is no more record anywhere in church history that anyone else received a personal visit from the resurrected Savior and was called and placed into apostleship. And so Paul was the last of the apostles. We saw that that the prophet was a temporary gift. What was the prophet? Well, that was a man who was given the ability to foresee what was happening in the future, what God's plan was. Now, not all of our New Testament books were authored by an apostle. All right, some of them were authored by the prophets, and most of them were, of course, authored by the apostles, but some by men that were considered prophets in the early church. And so there's no more need for that office for the apostle or for the prophet, because it was through these two offices that the completed canon of Scripture was given. And now we have the complete Bible. It is complete. The Bible tells us that it is inerrant. The Bible tells us that it is inspired. The Bible tells us that it is infallible. And there's no more need for us to have any new word from God. Paul said that the gift of prophecy would fail. And the idea of that is that it would just cease to be. It would fade off the scene. And so as we got all that God wanted us to know, once he gave us his word, there was no more need for those two offices. So they are no longer, they were temporary gifts and are no longer used today. But the verse does say that there are some men that God still uses in the church. Who are they? They are the evangelist, and they are the pastor, and they are the teacher. God uses these gifts, and we spent a little time last week as I was trying to show you that I think these three gifts work together. I think every pastor ought to be a pastor, but he also ought to be a teacher. He ought to teach something when he stands to preach and proclaim the Word of God. I mean, I think, a very important part of being a good pastor is to be able to teach the Word of God and to get folks to understand it. And then God gives the evangelist, God gives the pastor, God gives the teacher. And with these offices and with these ministries that God has given to the church, we see that the saints are to be perfected. They are to be maturing and growing as the evangelist preaches, as the pastor preaches, and as the pastor teaches. Now tonight, I want us to take the next phrase here and look at the implementation of these gifts. The implementation of these gifts. These gifted men that God, that the Lord gives to the church are to be used. They are to be used. Their gifts are to be used. First, for the perfecting of the saints. And that's where we ended last Sunday night. But now let's pick it up tonight and look at the rest of what Paul had to say here. My job, our job, is to use our gifts to perfect you. When I say our, look here, I'm talking about my job, and our job is to use our gifts to perfect the saints. Now, we don't just focus on one part of the saints in our church. We have a God called man for the teenagers of our church. We have a God called man for the children of our church. This one over here. We have a God called man for the education, for the furtherance of education over here. We have a God called man for the elderly folks, the older folks in our church, and that's this man sitting right here. We're still trying to figure out what Alan. No, I'm kidding you. We have a God called man because part of our praise in the church has to do with music. You say, well, you know, music's not that important. God seems to think it is. God seems to think it is. We have a man that is concerned with evangelism, and we hire him. You see how all this, folks, listen, I have not just hired these guys because I didn't have anything else to do. I didn't hire these guys because, well, it just happened like that one. No, they are here because they have a specific ministry and something that they do which fits into the biblical pattern of perfecting the saints. Now, I sometimes have been criticized. Well, you got too big a staff. I know that. I'd like to have more. Because there's an awful lot of people that still need to be reached with the gospel of Christ. And I tell you, if y'all give more, I'd hire more. All right? There are people dying and going to hell. And it's the job of the church to reach out there and knock on doors and tell people how to get to heaven and lead as many people to Christ as we can. So our job is to perfect the saints. Now, why? Why? All right, look at the next phrase. Our job is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, don't lose the flow of the verse here. I think that it is important in understanding what the Holy Spirit is telling us. He is telling us that the Lord has given men to the church for three reasons here. Number one, to mature the saints. Number two, for the work of the ministry. And number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how should we understand this? All right, look at that second phrase, for the work of the ministry. Our job is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. How should we view this? This second phrase has been beaten around, and all sorts of interpretations have come out of it. There are those that say that that this phrase proves the ministry is a class of people. That the ministry is a class of people. And I don't think that that's what that's teaching. I don't think that that's teaching that there is apostolic succession or anything of that nature. I don't think that that is teaching that there should be a hierarchy in the church. I don't think that's what it's saying at all. There is a second way to look at this, and this is the way I think it should be viewed. The second way is that the ministry is the service that perfected saints are to be working. The ministry is the service that perfected saints are to be working. I think that the key idea that is in these verses is the idea of service. I think that's the key. Whether it is done by those that are specifically called to be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, or if the work is done from the influence of the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher in your life as you grow and are perfected in the Lord. Whether it is done by those that are the pastor and preaching, or whether it's done by you. Listen, the point is the job needs to get done. All right? And I think that, you know, if you just stop and think about it, there is no way that I can do all that needs to be done around here. You know, there was a day when I led the music. Yeah, it wasn't very good, but I did it. And I did it because there was no one else to do it. I direct left-handed. You ought to have seen people out there turning their heads trying to figure out why that looks funny. Why does that look funny? But I do everything that you do naturally left-handed, and I lead singing left-handed. All right? I used to teach the combined adult Sunday school class. I mean, I was it. We didn't have a graded Sunday school. We had, we had the nursery, and thank God for the people that took care of the nursery. And then we had, the primates, the primary class. And then we had, the juniors, and then we had the teens, and then I had all the rest of the church. And I was the Sunday school teacher. There was a time when I was the, and don't tell anybody this, but there was a time when I swept the church and when I filled the baptistry. It was awful. One day I forgot, went and played golf, and I left the baptistry on and flooded the church. Oh, yeah, that went over real well. Pastor, why didn't you turn the water off? Well, I remembered it on hole number 9. I got home as quick as I could, and I got back to when they were on hole 12, so I didn't miss but 2 or 3 holes. It wasn't bad. I mean, there was a day when I did it all, but folks, look around you. I can't do it all today, and that's why I have these men sitting here, because they help me in the administration, in the ministry of this church. And so, now whether it's done, just stop thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it all. And if you'll stop and think about it, they can't even do it all. It's too big for 9 of us. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's too big for what's up here. All right? And so when you think about it, what did the Lord have in mind? The Lord had in mind that all of us were to do this work of the ministry. So our job is to take the Word and to give you the Word of God, whether it's your children, whether it's you when you were a child, whether it's you when you were a teenager, whether it's you when you were in Carroll Christian Schools, or whether it's you when you're in the Super 60s group. Our job is the ministry of this book, and you sit and you glean and grow and mature. Why? So you can do the work of the ministry. And that's what the church is all about. Now, folks, listen, there was a day, we didn't start with this. When Pastor Baker came over here and started the church, the Open Door, we certainly didn't start with this. No, it grew over time. Why did it grow? It grew because the pastors of the church, Dr. Smith and Homer Bowes and Pastor Baker and the guy that was before right after him, what's his name? Fallenbaum. And now me, for the last 150 years, we have taught you the Word of God. And as we have taught you the Word of God, you have grown in your Christian life. And you have involved yourself in some area of the ministry. And that area of the ministry has channeled you into being a soul winner and to caring for the condition, spiritual condition of others. And thus we have what we have today. But folks, this didn't come just from the labors of Shelton Smith. This did not come just from the labors of Norris Belcher. This did not come just from the labors of Pastor Baker. Yes, somebody had to be at the helm. But this came as a result of folks doing the work of the ministry. And that's what I think the church is missing today. I think that every pastor ought to do the work of an evangelist, as Paul said to Timothy. I think the pastor ought to preach the Word of God. I think he ought to be a teacher of the Word of God. But the key here, folks, is that of service. All of us doing the work. And I think, again, that because you look around the country and you see that this is not taking place, I think this again illustrates the immaturity of most saints. You know, I've been at this for a long time, folks. I've been at this a long time, at this ministry thing for a long time. And I've noticed some things. I've known a great number of church members through the years. And you know, most church members, now just listen now, most church members think that they are to be served and not that they should be serving. Now that's true. Most church members think that, you know, I ought to be the one served here and not that they ought to be the one serving. And this is nothing but a reflection upon the matter of immaturity among the saints of God. And listen, folks, all new converts are immature. All new converts. I mean, Paul spoke of how we get saved and then how we should grow. I mean, look at the 14th verse. He said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I mean, Paul said, listen, get in this book and learn something, Christian. Listen when the man of God preaches. Listen teach your children to listen when they're in the children's program, when they're in the teen program, when they're in Carroll Christian schools. And you adults, you listen when you're sitting under Rick's Sunday school class, or in Larry's class, or in Larry's class, or whoever's teaching, listen, pay attention. Why? So that you will learn the truth of God's Word, so that when somebody comes along with error, you know the difference. You know the difference. Once we start to mature, then here's what happens. We look around for a place to work. And folks, that's why we stand up here and make announcements and try to get you to sign up for the Soul Winners Club when the time rolls around. We want you in the Soul Winners Club. We want to encourage you to get in the choir. We want to encourage you to get to work on the bus ministry. Why? Because doing some work, some type of service, will perfect you quicker than anything in the world. That's why I want you to join the church. Now, don't put your wall up. Listen to me now. That's why I want you to join the church. I want you perfected. Think about it. What should be the goal of every believer? To glorify God, of course. And how do we glorify Him? We glorify Him, listen to me now, through the institution that His Son established, the church. And it is the ministries of the church that give us the methods and the means to glorify Him. Folks, listen. That's why I want you to join the church. I don't want you to join the church just so I can say, we got so many members. I don't even know how many members we got. I'll be honest with you. I do not know. I guess I could check, but I just never have. That's not my goal. My goal is not to get the big church. My goal is to get you the truth of God's Word. I mean, that's what I think about. That's what moves me. That's what motivates me. And we preach and teach, and I bring in evangelists like Glenn Matthews and Lou Rossi and John Hamlin and David Gibbs so that we can grow and mature as believers. When you come in here on Sunday, you're never going to hear, well, we're not having preaching tonight. You're not going to hear that. When you come in here on a Wednesday night, you're just not going to hear, well, you know, we're just going to talk tonight. You don't hear that. No, we take the Bible and say, open your Bible. Why? Because we're trying to perfect you. We're trying to grow you. We're trying to get you closer to God. Why are we trying to do that? Because in doing that, you're going to do something for the Lord, and God is going to be glorified in your work. All right? Now listen, we're not all going to agree with each other on everything. But if we agree on the fundamentals, which are essential to salvation, we all ought to be in that local church doing our part in the work of the ministry. And the truth is, I'm not going to agree with you on everything. You're not going to agree with me on everything. I know that. Good night. I don't even agree with me on everything. You don't know how many times I've walked out of here and gotten home and said, idiot, why did you say that? I can call me an idiot. Don't you call me an idiot. And say, yeah, Dr. Idiot to you. Now 900 people call me Dr. Idiot. I'm going to smack you if you do. Mike. John. We're not all going to agree with each other on everything. But folks, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, now, I mean this, I thought about it this afternoon, and I mean this with every fiber of my being. If I lived in Carroll County, do you know what church I'd belong to? Now, let's suppose I'm not a preacher. Let's suppose I work for Social Security, God forbid. Let's suppose I'm a school teacher. Let's suppose that I work for the highway department. Let's suppose I'm just, you know, layman and I'm saved and I want to learn the Word of God. Do you know where I'd join? I would join the Church of the Open Door. Now, I would. And it just behooves me. I cannot for the life of me understand why you don't want to join it. I'll be honest with you. I would want to be a part. I mean, to hear the heart for souls that man has. To hear the heart for children that man has. To hear that man stood and preached a sermon this morning and six children came down and got saved. I mean, to hear that this one over here is taking 19, 20 kids to where are you going? New Brunswick, to help out a pastor this July, and gonna take teenagers. Now you think about that. You got to be called of God to do that. There is absolutely no way that anybody in his right mind would do something like that unless he was called of God. I've told John, I don't know how in the world you do what you do. I don't know how you do what you do. But God has given him a heart to do what he does. I couldn't sit and pore over books with numbers in it for the school. I couldn't do that to save my neck. It's got numbers in it. Digits. Wouldn't do me a bit of good to do that. But folks, listen. Just looking at the people that get saved around here, just looking at folks coming out on Thursday night to visitation and Tuesday night to visitation and Wednesday afternoon, van loads of teenagers going out knocking on doors, and just to see these buses rolling out of here. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, we left the party for Harold and Janet and started home. And I got down to the stoplight at the bottom of the hill, and one of our buses was just pulling in. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd want to be a part of that. Now, we're not all going to agree with each other. But I think that we agree on the fundamentals. And bless your heart, listen, you need to get involved and become a part of God's church. Then secondly, I'm going to stop right there. I got more, but I'm going to stop right there. I want to get this second one to you. And I know y'all sitting here going, probably about midway through the first quarter. All right, focus, John. Focus, John. Thirdly, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, then thirdly, for the edifying of the body. Now, you know what it means to edify. It means to build up. To build up, to strengthen. What is the body of Christ? I'll tell you what it is. It's the church. When I was pastoring in Dixie, I want you to think about this now, and I'll be done in just a moment, but I want you to think about this, and I'm illustrating this, and I'll get to the point in a minute. When I was pastoring at 24 years of age in Dixie, West Virginia, my first Sunday we had 36 in church. 36. And within 2 years, now there's only 300 people lived in Dixie. All right? Now you think about that. Everybody knew everybody. They were all related by marriage, every one of them. You could not say anything about anybody or you were in big trouble because everybody was related. We would sit on the steps of the church in the summertime waiting on guys to show up for visitation, and a car would drive by and they'd hit the horn and wave, and I'd say, who is that? And they would tell me. And they would tell me who he's married to, how that relates all the way back to a guy that sat on the second row. Within 2 years' time, we were running 225 every Sunday. And you know what? Every preacher in the area criticized me. Every preacher in the area. I left there after 6 years and went to a church in Nitro, West Virginia. Stuff was blowing up there all the time. No, they made nitroglycerin there back in World War I. They called it Nitro. The old plant's still standing, parts of it. And I went down to that church. We had about 380 the first Sunday that I was at that church. And within a year, we had doubled and were running 800 consistently. Had to go to two services. The building packed for every service. And people criticized me. They criticized me. And all I heard was, well, I don't know how you could pastor that many people and meet their needs. Like having a big church was some kind of sin or something. Now, it's not like I went out and put a gun to people's head and said, now you are coming to church. No, they came to church of their own free will. And the church grew. And I've had people say to me in the last 13 years, well, I wouldn't have a church as big as Church the Open Door. Why, you cannot be for that many people what a pastor needs to be. And I've heard that many, many times throughout my ministry. And every time I hear it now, I just look at him. I say, okay, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think I need to be? I was at a pastor's fellowship just a year ago. And there was a guy I've known for years. And he sat down and he saw his opportunity and he made some comment about, I don't know how you could pastor that many people. Well, you just can't be for that many people. And I said, well, what do you think I ought to be for them? And he said, well, that many people, said, you wouldn't even know all their names. And so I said, is that a qualification for the office of the pastor, that you have to know the name of every person that sits in your church? Oh, well, no, I'm not saying that. I said, sir, that's exactly what you said. And you know, the truth of the matter is, these guys that are criticizing me for having a large church, you know what? These guys would die to have a large church if the truth were told. But folks, I want you to understand something. My goal has never been a big church. Never. It has never been to have a big church. My goal is to give you the truth of God's Word every time you come through the door. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a babysitter. I am not a nursemaid. I am a pastor. And I'm a teacher. I am to do the work of an evangelist. And that is why every time you come through the door, I'm going to stand up here and give you what I have prayed over and what I have studied and what I have planned out and what I have outlined and what I feel God would have me give. Now, the reason that I do that is because that is my job as a pastor. Now, I try to get to know everybody's name. And a lot of times I might call you something that's not your name. But believe me, I don't mean to do that. I told you when I came here, you got one name to remember. Pastor Norris, that's not real hard. I got 2,000, 3,000 names to remember. So be patient with me, please. But folks, listen, my job is not to just pat you on the back, and my job is not to just coddle you. My job is to stand up here and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And when God takes His Word and applies it to your heart, and you are strengthened and you are encouraged, and you get involved and you start working and doing something that brings honor and glory and praise to God, I have done my job. Then I have done my job. My job is to perfect you. Why? So you will work. Why? So the body will be edified. So the body will grow. So here's how it works. I'm to be growing so that I can preach and teach you, so you will grow. And then you and I, as we grow, we win souls. And as we win souls, the church grows. But you know, when we're acting like little immature babies, and we get mad at every little thing that goes on, and we pout, and we let sin get in our lives, man, I'm telling you, I can look out here right now and in my mind, go back 5 years and see folks that used to sit where you're sitting right now. They're not here anymore. Why? Well, some of them are immature little spiritual babies. And one of us did something, well, okay, forget that. I did something that ticked them off. I said something in a sermon. That's it, I'm out of here. And they're gone. Or sin got in there. And now they're their spiritual has-beens. My calling is to get you the truth. Your job is to accept the truth. And as I give it and you accept it, then we grow. We grow. Now this statement, folks, is really about the function of the church. This is how the church is to operate. And as we operate the way the Bible lays it out here, there's going to be growth in the church. The New Testament has much to say about the subject of edifying. Churches are to be edified. Luke tells us in Acts 9:31 that once the Apostle Paul got saved, the churches had rest from persecution and were edified in the Lord. Can you imagine when Paul, you know, remember he got saved and God spoke to that guy and told that guy to go get him and then take him to the what? Church. Take him to the church. Can you imagine the church when the Apostle Paul walked in? I doubt very seriously that there was a, hey, man, good to see you. There was probably a, uh-oh. And Ananias walked in and said, hey, guys, it's cool. He got saved. He got saved. And when he got saved, he went to church. Believers, churches are to be edified. Believers are to be edified. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Then individuals are to edify themselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Don't do anything that's not going to edify you, Christian. Don't take a job that's not going to edify you. Think about that. Think about that. What an awesome responsibility we have as saved believers. We have a wonderful position, folks, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but with that position comes an awesome responsibility. Are you doing your part? Are you growing? Are you receiving the truth and growing by it? Are you maturing as a Christian? Or are you at the same spiritual level today that you were 5 years ago? Oh, listen, it's time to grow. It's time to grow. Not long ago, I had a meeting with a preacher, and he was having some difficulty and called and said, can we talk? And I said, sure. So I met him, and we talked. And he was explaining this and explaining that, and here's this problem, here's that problem. And he said, brother, he said, can you help me? And I said, yes, I can. Now, he's 32, 33 years old. And I said, yes, I can. And he said, good. So he pulled out a pad and pen. He was going to write down my advice. And I said, no, don't. You don't have to write. This won't take. You'll get this right off the bat. And he said, he laid it down. He looked up and he said, well, what is it? And I said, look at me. He looked at me real intently and I said, you're not going to like this, but it's time to grow up. He went back like this. He said, what? I said, it is time to grow up. All of these problems, they're self-inflicted problems. And man, it was like someone turning on a light bulb for him. And he looked down, he looked sideways, he looked up, and he said, you're right. Christian, listen, spiritually speaking, it's time to grow up. We're getting down to the wire on this thing. And we got to get excited about winning souls, keeping these buses on the road, giving, praising God when we come to church, being thankful, proclaiming the message, prayer. We got to get serious about these things. And God has given us the institution of the church to implement these matters. And in so doing, we glorify God. I want to glorify Him. I want to glorify Him. And I think that's in your heart as well. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for our time together tonight. We ask You to bless the Word of God. Lord, give us understanding of what we've heard tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'll realize the function and the ministry of the church. And Lord, You gave Your life for the church, You said. And Lord, Paul was very clear and wants us to realize that the church is supposed to be growing, and the church is supposed to be doing a work, and the church is supposed to be edifying and building. And so, Lord, help us now to realize that we each play a part in that responsibility. Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of our people. And Lord, thank You for the way they give and the way You use them in winning people to Christ. But Lord, there's so much more we can do. So open doors of opportunity. Give us more to do. Lord, give us more burden for what needs to be done. Lord, just encourage our hearts and help us to edify one another and to work together and strive together to see this church continue to move forward for the cause of Christ. Lord, we just want to glorify our Savior. We want to glorify Him in every effort with everything that we do. And so, Lord, continue to give us Your mind and Your heart and open doors for us. And, Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. Bless us now as we sing an invitation hymn. And, Lord, just lay on our hearts a burden for the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, bless us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.